Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Overcoming the beast within. Winning the war that wages within us and without, or outside of us, or outside of our control, being perpetrated by the very enemy of all souls, Satan himself, through his human emissaries or agents, the necessity of dominating the old man, crucifying him, is essential. That is, the war within is essential. We must win that war in order to overcome the things that are going to happen on the outside of us. And some of you are in great toil even now. This is nothing to God. It's nothing new, I should say. It's nothing too difficult for him either to overcome and to bring you through. In fact, his promise in Isaiah is that the fire will not kindle upon you, and the water will not drown you, if you will, or overtake you. Listen to Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, that represents the people of God, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest, that speaks of relationship there, by the way, which is essential, foundational to victory, both now and in eternity. Verse 2, Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, that indicates and represents troubles in your life, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In other words, you will not catch fire. Now, does this not remind us of the 23rd Psalm? Now, friend, I want to reiterate that we're talking about winning the war, the complete victory found in Jesus Christ. As we look at the whole counsel of his word, deceive ourselves by ignoring portions of it, but acknowledge the whole word of God, which includes the truth that we're not living our best life now. In fact, if you're living your best life now, what does that say for you? Well, that simply says you're living a better life than you will in eternity. That means you're going to go to hell. Right under our nose, these beguilers, which have littered the landscape of the modern apostate church world, which was prophesied, are teaching us that we can have our best life now. This was never the teaching of Christ or his apostle, who passed on his teachings. In fact, Jesus said, you will be hated. If you follow him, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Jesus foretold that some of us would be martyred. We see that throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Revelation, etc. Anybody who's telling you that you're going to live your best life now, those words are insinuated in their message, are the very enemies of the cross of Christ. They have laid a net for your feet, and they have ensnared you using your own rebellion, your own lust that you have not repented of yet. The scripture says, preach the word. Just the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, there it is, after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will be turned away from the truth and turned unto fables or stories. They want to hear fairy tales. They want to hear stories. They don't want the truth because they don't want to change. They do not want to cry out to God in true repentance, laying down their lives in full and complete unreserved repentance. Anyone who doesn't is as sure for hell as if he or she were already there. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance, true repentance, is an absolute gospel imperative. And wherever you're not hearing that, you are not hearing the original gospel. You are being willingly misled to support and listen to that false teacher, whether that be myself or anyone else. Repentance is always the first command and word of the original, unchanging, alive today gospel, beloved. Now, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, David cries and writes, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house or in the presence of the Lord forever. That's Psalm 23. Now, friend, again, we are talking about overcoming the beast within, if you will. David, in the book of Psalms, I believe it's David, in Psalm 69, there's something interesting I believe we see throughout Scripture. In this short, brief radio message, I want this to be pointed out to you so that when you begin to read the Word of God, or when you continue to read the Word of God daily, searching it, studying to show your own self approved unto God daily, nourishing your heart and mind in the Word of God, you're going to see this pattern. Notice Psalm 69, 1 through 5. Save me, O Lord, or God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. Now notice how we continually see the word and the illustration, the metaphor of water overtaking you, like you're being drowned in huge waves that are coming over you. We see that. We've seen it in, I believe, the last couple of three passages we read out of Isaiah 43, namely, etc. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. In other words, I'm being surrounded by insurmountable evil, seemingly insurmountable. Verse 2, Psalm 69, I sink in deep mire, deep mud, where there is no standing. There's nowhere to stand. Now, notice the illustration David is portraying and giving us here. He's sinking, and he just keeps sinking with nothing below him for his feet to stand on. I think you see what that means spiritually. We've all felt that frightful place where we feel like there's a sinking and nothing to hold us up and to stop that calamity. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. He's being overwhelmed, in other words. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Wow. Have you ever been there? I'm there right now, friends, and I'm sure many of you may be now. You may have been, or you will be. There's nothing you can go through in life that the book of Psalms alone, and particularly the Bible, obviously the whole counsel of God, that the book of Psalms doesn't cover. It's amazing. It's a great comfort to know that God has brought his people through these things for 6,000 years, and he's going to bring you through, beloved, if you cling to him, if you cry out to the Lord and trust him and learn of him in his holy fear. Verse 4, Psalm 69, perhaps our central text today. Psalm chapter 69, verse 4, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Now, David, among other things, is saying here that he has a lot of enemies without the legal system. Evil people working in the legal system can be one of those enemies. I mean, after all, they put Jesus in jail overnight and then hung him on a cross. The evil authorities locked up Joseph in Genesis. They took John the Baptist in and cut his head off for telling the truth and rebuking them. We could go on and on and on. They imprisoned Paul over and over. Some of the greatest men of God in history through the legal system. Enemies. There are other enemies of the cross who attack, or used of Satan to attack the righteous And David had many enemies, and we see this throughout the book of Psalms, that they were seemingly insurmountable, and that certainly was the truth if it weren't for God. Notice verse 5, though, and this is one of our key points here. In the midst of David's toils from attacks and persecutions, wrongfully, these people were wrongfully accusing him. They without a cause, persecuted him, as we see in Psalms. They hated me without a cause. I believe that's a direct quote. Jesus said that if you truly follow him, that the evildoers of the devil, many of them claiming to be Christians and even watchmen, will falsely accuse you. Matthew 5:11. They shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Verse 5, the last verse in our passage here in Psalm 69. O God, David cries out, thou knowest my foolishness and my sins are not hid from thee. David, in the midst of the attacks from without, which were absolutely evil, from evil hearts, he cries out to God, cries out in fresh repentance, fresh confession. That, boy, we need that every day, whenever needed. Oh God, thou knowest my foolishness. You know my foolishness, Lord. In the midst of these people attacking me, you know my foolishness and my sins. My sins are not hid from you. We've got some articles on Safeguard Your Soul, some posts on this topic of my sins. I believe that's the name of one of those posts. If you'll go to safeguardyoursoul.com and go to the search box and just put in my sins, that's a biblical term. David was acknowledging his own sins in the midst of attacks from others. Notice that in the midst of this spiritual warfare, the very attacks of Satan through his children, this man, David, a man after God's own heart, acknowledges his own need for ongoing repentance and ongoing confession of sin. Yes, the sins and persecutions of others are wrong, and yet this does not negate our own sin or the need to honestly acknowledge such before the Lord on a constant basis. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee, David says. Psalm 69:5. David, that's a great memory verse, by the way. We are shown repeatedly that true victory, as defined in the divine economy, can only come through and to those who are truly honest, acknowledging any and all transgression in their lives. 1 John 1:9. First, he says that if you say you had no sin, you're a liar. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, beloved, have you memorized that verse yet? 1 John 1:9, how in the world can you employ it if you haven't memorized it, or fully employed, I should say? How in the world can you share it if you haven't memorized it from the King James Bible with others? There's three reasons why we study the Word of God in general, I would say. Number one, to know the Lord better. Number two, to nourish our hearts daily, daily bread. Remember, the prayer Jesus told us to pray, the model prayer, or how to pray. It included, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we request of thee to give us this day our daily bread. And my friends, that comes when we study to show ourselves approved. We feed on the Word of God, the sincere. We desire and study the sincere, the pure milk of the Word of God so that we may grow thereby. We must receive nourishment from heaven every day. And just as God dropped down the bread of heaven, the Word of God, revealing Christ, who is the bread of life, into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He did that daily, and that's a picture. And Jesus even said, give that, here to pray, give us this day, today, our daily bread. And that happens when we ingest, we devour the Word of God. And I would highly encourage you to do what is probably the most absolutely valuable or invaluable thing you'll ever do in this life, and that's memorize Holy Scripture with the reference. And I would definitely highly recommend the King James Bible, the real Bible preserved for the English-speaking people of the world. Notice Proverbs 28:13, and continuing our message here of winning the war within and therefore without. Teen, he that covereth or tries to hide his sins shall not prosper. He that covereth, seeks to cover or hide his sin, shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Whoever confesses them, is honest about them, and forsakes them shall have mercy. Listen to James, beloved. Listen to James. In James chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. He's talking to the church, as Jesus is in Revelation 2 and 3, to the seven churches of Asia, every one of which applies to us today, calling them to repent of not having him as their first love and entrenching themselves in the comforts and trinkets of this world. That sums up the first and the last of the seven churches, beginning in chapter 2 of Revelation and ending with the Laodiceans in the third chapter, 14 through 22. I want to encourage you to study those seven letters to the seven churches to learn of the Lord and cry out to God, asking him to show you exactly what those he wants to speak to your heart through them. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Let me read it one more time. James 4, 8, and 9. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning or weeping and your joy to heaviness. I want to ask a rhetorical question. How in the world could we possibly pray a prayer like this right there in the Bible, James 4, 8, 9, if we won't first acknowledge our great need for God and for repentance before him who is holy, holy, holy? I'm really concerned about many brood of vipers that are, many of which are street preachers, that are running around saying and declaring that they're sinless perfection. This means they don't have any need any longer to do what Jesus calls us to do, as we see throughout this message and throughout Scripture, to be poor in spirit, to be desperate for God at all times. It's the very first cornerstone truth that he gave in the longest sermon we have on record, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Only those that are poor in spirit, only those that become and remain desperate for Jesus, realizing their utter, absolute need for him, will be with him in heaven. Make no mistake, beloved, no prideful, evil-hearted person beating their chest as if they're righteous in and of themselves without or divorced from intimate dependence on Christ. They will not be in eternal glory. You might as well throw your Bible away if you believe that. The whole Bible is against the self-righteous. In fact, I'll go on record to say that's the worst sin in the Bible, pride and self-righteousness. We see that in the severity of judgment and woes that Jesus pronounced on the Pharisees, the false religionists of his day. Matthew 23 is a good place to start on that one. When you read Matthew 23, put your seatbelt on, please. This little false Jesus that's a nice little wallflower is a farce, and you'll see that clearly when you see what he does to the Pharisees and tells them three times that they're going to hell in that one passage, that one chapter, Matthew 23. Now, we've got just a few minutes left, friends. I want to read James 4, 6 through 10. But he giveth more grace. Now, a portion of this we read a minute ago, but let's read the fuller context. He's talking about verse 4 and adulteresses and how they love this world, and therefore they were the enemies of Christ. My friend, if you're not panting for, looking for, and rejoicing at the coming of Christ, you love this world and you love your life in it, and God is calling you to repent and lay up your treasure in heaven. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists, that means stiff arms, holds at length, separates himself from the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In order to be humble, you got to be honest. In order to be honest, you got to be humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, friend, do you have the devil running wild in your life in any way? Well, here's the answer. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. And that is according to his prescription, which begins with honesty, humility, and sincere repentance, laying down your life unreservedly. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will, he must, he has to, he shall flee from you. You want to get the devil out of your life? Just repent. Submit yourself to God, then tell him to go, and he will, he has to go. He has no more legal rights. Sin is what gives Satan legal right in our lives. Verse 8, draw nigh, or draw close to God. He will draw nigh to you. Now, we must ask the question, are we waiting on God or is he waiting on us? It's the latter. He's waiting on you. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Ye double-minded, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your turn to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. The way that we win, again, the battle without is to first win the battle within. We must have mastery by the power of the Spirit and submission to the cross of Christ daily over the sinful deeds of the body. If you don't take control of your body and your flesh, your old man, it will take control over you. Absolutely. That's just how it goes in life. If you don't take control over your time will take control over you. Oh, I'll get to read the Bible tonight. No. When you get up, you put God first. You study His Word first. You raise your hands and give Him praise. You thank Him. You spend some intimate moments with Him in prayer. You put Him first. Seek ye first, Jesus said, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. When you get paid, you put God first. If you don't, you'll never get around to it. And you lay up treasure and you give Him thanks and show Him the gratitude due to His name for bringing that money into your hands. That's what the Bible teaches. He gives you power to get wealth to establish His covenant in this earth, Deuteronomy 8:18, and not to establish yourself in this fleeting world. Hell is full of people who did such. And don't think God won't send you there. He almost killed Moses. Exodus chapter 3 or 4, right in there. Go read it. There is no respect to persons with God. You're not God's little pet. Neither am I. God is God. We must fear Him. Now, the war of Satan rages against Christ's ambassadors, as we see in our central passage here in Psalm 69, 1-5, where David is being overwhelmed by huge enemies, I mean, in great numbers. We see throughout Israel's history and David's history in Psalms. As I said, the war of Satan rages against the ambassadors of Jesus. And yet, such a reality does not negate the frailty of the disciple and his need to stay before the Lord and be honest. Oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hid from thee. Psalm 69:5. Oh Lord, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hid from thee. My sins are not hid from God, neither are yours. Our sins are not something that are unknown to God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees the hearts of men, and that's what He looks upon. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Now, let's see here in that passage. We must confess our sins. We must not hide them. We must not be dishonest about our own utter need for God. We have not attained. Paul said he had not attained. So why in the world would we be so foolish and prideful to believe we have? What arrogance, what evil. Now, in the following passage, as well as in many other scriptures, we see that there's a great warfare in the sin of God's servants among the Lord's servants, and the need for them to repent and abide intimately in Jesus is ongoing until we're in heaven. He has gone before us to prepare a place for us, and that's to those who continue to put Him first, because He's the only way, not a way. He's exclusively the only way, John 14:1-6. And unless you're following Him according to His biblical prescription, then you're not following Him, and you're going straight off the cliff into eternal damnation for following false teachers. You have no excuse. You've got a Bible. You've got a King James Bible. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The true wise virgin saint of Christ, remember, Matthew 25:1-13, the kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10 virgins, but only 5 made it. Only 5 kept their lamps full of oil, which represents your vessel. You are the vessel of the Lord. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you keep it full of Him, you will prosper. You will win this war. You will be with Him in eternal glory. And otherwise, you will not perish. You will fall away. And you will be an apostate who spends eternity with the enemy of all souls, Satan. And that would be unfortunate. 2 Peter chapter 2, right at the end, details this and warns us, as do so many scriptures, of this lie of lasciviousness that's so often taught. In fact, we speak in great detail about this in a book called Lie of the Ages. Lie of the Ages. I highly recommend that book. It's a 730-page blockbuster that will change your life forever. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow or the pig that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. Now some are going to go be so deceitful as to say this does not deal with a saved person. First of all, this letter is written to only the church, not the lost. Second of all, he's saying right here over and over the word again, the word if. Listen, salvation is conditional. It's not unconditional. After you get saved, you must remain in Christ. That's what abide means. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Is your life bearing fruit today for God's glory, friend? That's a rhetorical question. But if you don't, abide in Christ, you don't remain in Christ, you will be cast into the fire, John 15, 1 through 6. Right here he says that the pig that was the sow that was washed turns again to wallowing in the mire or partaking of sin after being washed, saved. You can't deny this. Now, friend, we didn't get through this message, that's for sure. There's so much to be said here. God bless you. I pray that God would make this message firmly seated in our hearts in the holy fear of God, that he would bless us to abide in Christ as he defines it and draw us nigh to him as we choose to draw nigh to the Lord. God bless you, friend. Please avail yourself to the resources on safeguardyoursoul.com. By the way, more support is needed for the ministry work of Christ.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.